Greetings, my fellow free Low Sovereign thinkers. Thank you for tuning to LL3 Podcast. My name is Craig, transmitting from the beautiful realms of planet Earth. Today's date is Sunday, March 10th, 2024. This is episode 1720. Governor Noem signs strongest hate crime bill and divided we fall. Before I proceed, you can follow me on multiple social media sites and podcast channels. Just type in Loki Luck number 3, Loki Luck Roman number 3 with 3 eyes, or the Loki Luck Roman number 3 podcast. Furthermore, if you have any questions, comments, recommendations, all that good stuff, whatever you do, please use decorum. Get me via email, ll3.podcast@proton.me. If you want to donate, go to paypal.me or cash.app/LokiLuck3. Wow. Well, daylight savings time. Move your clock an hour ahead, except for a few states. I'm not really too fond of it by any means. I do find it very damn ludicrous. But a person like myself never goes out, parties, anything like that around this time. I just relax, get some sleep, and be ready for it. Yeah, I was watching some of the Joe Biden State of the Union address talk about polarization. Yeah. Master being controlled, allegedly, right? How pathetic. All the factions out there want centralized control. Yeah, Biden supporters, we love you. Woo! Sing me God Bless the Patriot Act. And don't get me wrong, like when people ask me about what I thought about Donald Trump, I'm no cult member by any means. He don't believe he did anything wrong. He may have his faults as well. There's areas I do question. But when you witch hunt a person constantly, you just enhance his popularity, his approval ratings, his support. Of course, projection always blows back in people's faces when least expected. We're seeing right through them. That's why I just find it comical when I hear all these baseless geniuses. Oh, we can't. You shouldn't use illegal. You should just use undocumented workers. Well, according to the U.S. code, show me the U.S. code is undocumented workers. Stop sugarcoating, folks. Don't be, you're racist. It doesn't work. Your Orwellian propaganda machine is nothing more than recycled pus. I know for sure. Because I always observe responsibly. And it's so funny when you got folks out there. Believe they're all experts. Call it hoorah, hoorah. Whether they're red or blue. All these factioneers out there are just nothing more than herd conformist. So I'm going to be talking a couple of articles that can relate to it. And this one came out yesterday from Information Liberation. It says, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem signs strongest hate crime bill in America to stop anti-Semitism. Why is that? What constitutes anti-Semitism, right? Not just one brand of people. After the four. If I recall. And it's mainly in the Middle East, to be exact. Which is a good amount here. But I remember what the Britannica said about Semites. And I did share this with people a while back in some of my past episodes. And I'll add it to the footnotes. It's okay. And it was actually a Semite, name given in the 19th century to a member of any people who speak one of the Semitic languages, a family of languages spoken primarily in parts of Western Asia and Africa. The term, therefore, came to include Arabs, Akkadians, Canaanites, Hebrews, some Ethiopians, including Amhara and Tigrayans, and Armenian tribes, Aramean tribe. Although Mesopotamia, the western coast of the Mediterranean, the Arab Peninsula, and the Horn of Africa have all been proposed as possible sites of prehistoric origins of Semitic-speaking populations, there remains no archaeological or scientific evidence of a specific Semitic people, because Semitic-speaking peoples do not share any traits aside from language. Use the term Semite to refer as a broader range of Semitic-speaking peoples has fallen out of favor. For this reason, some critics even encourage to remove the removal of hyphen in the term anti-Semitism to help dispel any pseudoscientific notions of a Semite race. They advocate instead for use of anti-Semitism to describe hostility towards or discrimination against Jewish as a religious group or racial group. But it goes a little bit further than that about Semites. So I'm going to leave that in the footnotes for sure, just to give you guys a heads up. This is from the Britannica.com, by the way. So I'm going to continue on reading this article. It's by Chris Mannan. And there is a nice little link from Christy Noem's Twitter page. South Dakota has passed legislation to stop anti-Semitism. There will be a model legislation that other states can implement to stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters and to stand with our ally Israel. And Fox is, oh, such a great idea. Remember, Fox is more than a bunch of her conformist maggots, too. Them and CNN look, think, and smell the same. So, I'll continue on here. Noem said in the press release after signing the bill that South Dakota is giving Jews additional special privileges that under their anti-discrimination laws because they are God's chosen people. Sounds like came out of the Babylonian Talmud, right? That's not being anti-Semitic, folks. And the article she had on here from news.sd.gov, ensuring the security of God's chosen people. When I was growing up, my dad would always gather our family together. We would pray for Israel. It came out March 8th, by the way. Here's what the full statement has to say. When I was growing up, my dad would always gather our family together and we would pray for Israel. It was instilled in me from a very young age that the Jews were God's chosen people, that Israel was the Holy Land, and that we should always pray for them. The question I have for Governor Noem, explain to me why Jerusalem got destroyed in 70 CE or 70 AD by the Romans. Corruption, you can say, affects all of us in society. I'll continue on. I brought those fundamental ideas with me when I was in the state legislature, when I served in Congress, and now as governor of South Dakota, supporting the state of Israel and our Jewish community has always been extremely important to me. It is important to support Israel for spiritual, historical, and national security reasons, and I'm continuing to stand with Jewish people by signing a historic legislation to protect them from anti-Semitism. I was shocked and devastated to see this horrific terrorist attack on the state of Israel on October 7th, 2023, and have continued to be heartbroken to see radical individuals in the United States of America staying with Hamas, staying with terrorists. It's funny because in my view, what I observed, and many people, a good amount of people who were agents or soldiers of the Israeli Defense Force, IDF, questioned it. It did not, nothing added up. Nothing added up at all. I see a video clip of that too. And it really baffles me, okay? Especially when they say it's their 9/11. And another thing too, there's Hamas was started by Mossad, right? Israeli intelligence. I'm pro-Hamas. Yeah, so you're pro-Mossad. How astute, right? I get them all on both sides, man. Those radicals, those so-called paper tigers out there don't have a damn clue. Ever since October 7th, we have been seeing a shocking spike of anti-Semitic acts of hatred around the world. We have even seen isolated incidents right here in South Dakota. No one should ever feel concerned for their safety when going to school, when going to work, when they are just trying to live their normal lives. But that is the reality for so many Jewish people across America right now. We see anti-Semitism on college campuses among high school students, even as young as middle and elementary school students. That is unacceptable. Well, folks, this is what happens when you have mind control on everybody, including the parents and all that good stuff, the one-dimensional individuals that can't critically think or question everything. I was very proud to sign HB 1076, a very important bill to combat anti-Semitism. This bill defines anti-Semitism and makes it easy to prove when discriminatory conduct is motivated by anti-Semitism. It is an impactful piece of legislation that will ensure the safety of Jewish people and the strengthening of South Dakota's anti-discrimination laws. So the other ones that are not Hebrew don't count. Hooray. Brilliant. Intelligent. That's a politician for you. We held a beautiful moving signing ceremony for this bill in the rotunda of our state capitol in Pierre. Many prominent Jewish leaders attended, including Elon Carr, the CEO of the Israeli-American Council for Action, nationally renowned Jewish leader and the founder of the Jacobson Society, Dan Rosen, rabbi and director of the National Jewish Advocacy Center, Dr. Mark Goldfeder, Rabbi Mendel Alperitz of the Shabbat Jewish Center for South Dakota, Renee Schrabier on behalf of the Yenam Cohen, Council of General of Israel to the Midwest, and Jordan Cope from Stand With Us. Yay. A few of our special guests said some words about the impact this legislation will have for the Jewish people. You can view footage of the full signing ceremony here, which the video is on top of that on this page, so you can look it for yourselves. There are other people to thank in their efforts in getting this bill passed and signed into law, including Representative Mike Stevens, Representative Rebecca Ramirez, Dan Lederman, and Stefan Rosenthal. I'm just wondering if they even have Hebrew or Israelite in their DNA. The prime sponsors of this bill, Representative Deutsch and Senator Malhaf, put in a lot of work with my office and with members of the Jewish community to make sure that this is the best bill possible to stop anti-Semitism and hate. This bill put the gold standard of International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism into state law. I hope that more states across our great nation will follow this example that we are setting here in South Dakota. It is more important now than ever for our nation's leaders to stand up and fight against anti-Semitism. We must always work to ensure the security of God's chosen people. Continue on here. No doubt the Anti-Defamation League, who sued the city of Bladensburg, Maryland, a few years ago to have a 100-year-old memorial cross from a World War I veteran torn down the name of separation of church and state. We will also be suing to stop this law that was passed only to protect God's chosen people. No doubt that lawsuit will be coming any day now. Crickets, right? The IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism is completely antithetical to the First Amendment. And it says here the IHRA defines anti-Semitism as making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially but non-exclusively, the myth of the world of Jewish conspiracy or of Jewish control, media, economy, government, or other institutions. So, if there's any banksters out there with the so-called Hebrew names, they don't want you to know. So, you know, instead of saying Jews as collectives, just call them Gynos. Gyno-controlled. Gyno as collectives. Gyno-conspiracy. Gynos controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Right? You can use that. You know what Gyno means? Jew in name only. And don't get me wrong, there's people who are Judaic by faith. Love that. but I'm not attacking a group collectively. I put them in a different category. The ones that are claimed to be Jews, but they're nothing more than imposters. And the late Aaron Zellman from the Jews for the Preservation of Fire's Ownership will attest to that. May his soul be forever free. Well, she was born on March 6th, by the way. Accusing Jews as a people for being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even as an act committed by non-Jews. Denying the facts, scope, mechanisms, e.g. gas chambers, or intentionality of genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. Accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interest of their own nations. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Applying double standards by requiring of the behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. Using symbols and images associated with classical antisemitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel Israelites. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel. Rothschild approved, right? No other ethnic or religious group in America is afforded any such privileges. No other ethnic or religious group in America is afforded any such privileges. Interesting, right? GOP and Kristi Noem have been running and fighting wokeness and safe spaces, but they've all transformed into woke SJWs demanding safe spaces and passing hate speech laws in the name of protecting God's chosen people in Israel. Doublespeak, right? Yeah, Ron DeSantis does that too. When you're woke, you're going broke, except for when I kiss the boots of the Israeli government. Yeah. Ron DeSantis, to all you DeSantis worshipers out there, you guys okay? You're a cult member. You're a charlatan. You're a quack. You want to go after Trump and you idolize your guy? He does no wrong. Then you're a bunch more than a bunch of confounded fools. Her conformist. Moo! And I'll continue on here. As I reported last week, the Jerusalem Post ran a column calling for anti-Semitism to be criminalized worldwide in order to stop criticism of Israel and amid their genocidal ethnic cleansing campaign in Gaza. So the Jerusalem Post believes it should be worldwide. I'm going to tell you how to think. Live and wipe your own rear end because I'm from God's chosen people. There's nothing more than blasphemy when you look at this. The lies, the synagogue of Satan, right? Yeah. John wrote that in the book of Revelations. Article, paragraph 2 and 3. Okay, paragraph 2 and 3, verse 9. Given a large-scale resurgence of international anti-Semitism today, it is now essential to universally criminalize anti-Semitism, said Alan Baker, the head of the International Law Program at the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. This must be done despite anticipated negative reactions by Muslim groups and despite the apathetic and misplaced sense of political correctness that is most prevailing in Europe and North America. Yes, Alan. Please think for me. Think for me. As I noted last week, this global push to outlaw anti-Semitism makes it abundantly clear that all those laws like Georgia, Florida, South Dakota, and others are passing to define anti-Semitism are in fact making it illegal to criticize Jewish people in Israel. First Amendment be damned. Yep, and there's a nice little thing on here as well. And you know what? Continue on here. Leaked documents from the Anti-Defamation League obtained by the Jewish Daily Forward in 2018 revealed even the ADL recognized that anti-BDS laws making it illegal to boycott Israel were clearly unconstitutional. Exactly. Free speech, more important than your feelings. This was from the Haaretz, by the way. And as I said, and they talked about that, it's harmful as harmful to Jews. Yeah. They warned that such laws as no one passed in South Dakota would be harmful to the Jewish community, as they would give the appearance that Jewish community exercises undue influence in government. And you know what's interesting about that? Because the dangers of foreign powers and influence, Federalist Papers 2 through 5, talked about that. And I might have to do that. I might have to add that to my memo for this episode. You could actually hear my story, hear what I had to say, and actually look, you could read it too. So I'll definitely do that. Though the ADL have privately warned against said anti-BDS laws or other Jewish groups forge ahead with them, the ADL not only got on board with anti-BDS effort, but became an enthusiastic supporter. Anti-BDS laws have since been passed in 38 states, which is an illegal contract under their own state constitutions. All right, so, and I'm not saying here praising, hating people for what they believe in and all that. No. But they're just throwing more fuel to the fire. If you criticize guys like Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government for what's going on, you can't do that. It's all not more than lies, folks. They're lying to you. They're trying to tell you how to contemplate. Can we talk about programming? Oh yeah, they don't want that. And it's interesting because I was reading the House bill enrolled on here, and it says right here, an act to require the consideration of the definition of anti-Semitism when investigating unfair or discriminatory practices. Being acted by the legislature of the state of South Dakota, Section 1, that Chapter 20, verse 13 may be amended with a new section. In reviewing, investigating, or deciding whether an alleged violation of this chapter is anti-Semitic, the Division of Human Rights must consider the definition of anti-Semitism. For the purpose of this chapter, the term anti-Semitism has the same meaning as the working definition of anti-Semitism adopted by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance on May 26, 2016, including the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified therein. Nothing in this section may be construed or diminished or infringed upon any protected right under the U.S. Constitution, Amendment 1, or South Dakota Constitution, Article 6, Section 5, or to conflict with any federal, state, or local discrimination law. Interesting, right? So, actually, they just contradict themselves, because to all you folks out there, they claim to be illiterates. I got a copy of, on Ballotpedia, Article 6, South Dakota. It's called Bill of Rights. There's 28 sections, but I'll read 5, there's a few in here. But I'm going to read Section 1, Inherent Right. All men are born equally free and independent and have certain inherited rights, among which are those of enjoying, defending life and liberty, of acquiring and protecting property, and the pursuit of happiness. Securities rights, government instituted among men, that's humanity, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So, you have inherent rights, natural rights. So, there's strike one. Why that bill, this law is invalid. We'll hit 5. Freedom of speech. Truth as defense, jury trial. I'll just read the first sentence here. Every person may freely speak, write, and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuses that right. In all trials for libel, both civil and criminal, the truth, when published with good motives and for justifiable ends, shall be a sufficient defense. Okay, so, if you criticize in good faith, it's illegal. Okay, so the law right there is invalid. And if I'm correct, let me just see here. Section 12, ex post facto law, impairment of contract obligations, privilege, or immunity. No ex post facto law or law impairing the obligation of contracts or making any revocable grant of privilege, franchise, or immunity shall be passed. Bingo. This is an illegal contract. With all due respect, Governor Noem and all the cohorts that rallied around, voted for this, and joined the so-called celebration, it's void and without force, with no exceptions. There's already laws in the books if you harass somebody and so forth. Yeah, there's a different story. You don't go harassing people, threatening. But if you make a speech in the park criticizing the Israeli government, that's a natural born right to anyone else. No ends, ifs, or buts. Those are the facts, folks. So yeah, they just lying to you right there. It contradicts Articles, the Bill of Rights, Section 1, 5, and 12. Prove me wrong if you dare. I would love to hear from you. All right, let's gonna go browsing around here a little bit more. Oh, yeah. Yep, that's really it, to be honest. Just let you know, too, Section 26, the power is inherited in the people. And don't forget 27. I'd like to add 27 to this as well. Maintenance of free government fundamental principles. The blessings of free government can only be maintained by a firm adherence to justice, moderation, temperance, frugality, and virtue, and by frequent reoccurrence to fundamental principles. This here, 1076, preaches that. And just going to check around. Yeah, that'll be it. So you got 4 on here. 1, 5, 12, and 27. Checkmate, Governor Noem and all the goofballs in South Dakota that supported this bill, including the legislation, these lobbyist groups. You are nothing more than contaminating space. Take your foreign influences somewhere else and get the hell out of that state. And never show your faces in these United States of America again, because the truth of the matter is, folks, they're being burnt. They're blowback in their face when least expected. And one more thing, my friends, is a motive called jury nullification. If someone criticizes about a particular group, Or a nation like Israel, you know what? If they get hurt, ask them this. How's it threatening society? How's it endangering their realms? Jury nullification, no victim, no crime. All right. Well, that'll be it on this segment. I'll be right back. So stay tuned. All right, I'm back. Oh, speaking of 10th Amendment, I might have did a show a while back on the House passed West Virginia bill to legalize retail raw milk sales. Well, the Senate did the same thing. Happened on part of March 8th, 2024. And according to this, it was still HB 1149. I will says here, under proposed law, retailers could sell raw milk in the state as long as the container is clearly labeled as unpasteurized raw milk. The name includes the name and physical address of the seller, date of the production, and the following warning: consuming unpasteurized raw milk may increase your risk of foodborne illness, especially for children, elderly, immune compromised individuals, and persons with certain medical conditions. All right, so it was passed by the Senate 28-5, which the House previously passed the bill 76-19. I think it's pretty damn cool because it's telling the state, the federal government, where to go. And I think it's very good. So I will leave this on the footnotes of the show so you can check it out for yourselves. It's really cool. 10th Amendment stands. That's what I tell folks, man. It doesn't matter who's in Washington, D.C. We got the 10th Amendment. We can tell the District of Columbia where to go. Give them the big middle finger. Because without us, they're nothing. All right? So enough of this hoorah, hoorah. Who's going to be my next president? Go by the Constitution. That's it. We don't need to get a constitutional convention. Some people may say, oh, don't say that. We're going to have term limits. Shut up. We got the 10th Amendment. It's time to exercise it to the fullest. Well, all right. Well, enough of that. I want to do one more here. came from Brownstone Institute. It's entitled Divided We Fall by Lanny Kass. It's under Philosophy and Society. As it reads here, the presidential election is still 8 months away, yet the campaign to preclude a second Trump administration had already reached a fever pitch. In the course of the past 2 weeks, the public has been treated of a searing images of the undemocratic, uncouth, patriarchal, racist, xenophobic, homophobic dystopia America is doomed to become should the GOP win in November. Yeah, right. Everyone jump off buildings. Against the backdrop of the most virulent, overt, and violent anti-Semitism sweeping in the U.S. in the wake of the barbarous savagery on October 7, 2023, the media has chosen to spotlight and pillory white nationalism as the clear and present danger. You know what's funny about it? White nationalism is actually about federal government intervention. When you think about it, that's synonymous. It's projecting. DC wants all 50 states to revolve around them. That's the clear and present danger, my friends. First, a new tome, Right Rule Rage by Tom Scholar and Paul Waldman, was hailed by the New York Times as an important book ought to be read by anyone who wants to understand politics in the perilous age of Trump. That's by David Corn, by the way. The book explores while rural whites have failed to reap the benefit from their outsized psych political power and why they are the most likely group to abandon democratic norms. Sorry about that. And traditions. Their rage stoked daily by Republican politicians and the conservative media now poses an existential threat to the United States. The authors show how vulnerable U.S. democracy has become to rural whites who are increasingly inclined to hold racist and xenophobic beliefs, to believe in conspiracy theories, to accept violence as a legitimate course of political action, and to exhibit anti-democratic tendencies by stoking rural whites' anger. Conservative politicians and talking heads create a feedback loop of resentment that are undermining American democracy. Wow. Tell you one thing. Very delusional from this man who wrote it on that aspect, on what to explore. Well, next, Politicals, Heidi Priebela, an award-winning national investigative correspondent and veteran Washington journalist, told Michael Steele of MSNBC that people who believe in human rights come from God are Christian nationalists. Priebela's comment triggered an outrage, apologizing, she doubled down. Here's a taste of her newest piece. Every person's spiritual motivations are entitled to respect. Once these motivations take them onto the stage of politics and lawmaking, that will affect the lives of fellow citizens. However, they can expect journalistic scrutiny. They cannot expect exemption from criticism from people who oppose their agendas, nor any extra deference for their political words or actions simply because they are motivated by religious beliefs. Christianity is a religion. Christian nationalism is a political movement. The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that they believe our rights as Americans and as all human beings do not come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They're not from the Supreme Court. They come from God. It's funny, see, another winner, Heidi Priebela, another one who doesn't have a damn clue. When you say the Declaration of Independence was our certain natural rights are founded by our Creator, and it's interesting, it doesn't say any religious deity, but rather from a universal cosmos. So this person is delusional. All right. Evidently, people who have read America's founding document, the Constitution, which every servant and appointed or elected official swears to protect, defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, are a moral threat to our nation's survival. And so, apparently, are millions of those who face the American flag in our classroom, place their rights over our heart, and recite in unison, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." I'll stop right there. Just to let you folks know, what's his name? Salami? Bernie Salami? Was a man who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance in 1895. But the whole thing on Under God came in 1950, if I'm correct. Yeah, the Salami Salute. I'm going to look that up right now and get my to make sure I get my facts straight here. But very interesting indeed, right? Oh, yeah. Yep, I'm going to do it right here. The origins of the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Oh, shoot. I messed up here. But you always got to look at these things, folks. I'm not a big fan of Wikipedia myself, but there are times there's always merit behind the, what the hell? It's Balami, right? Yeah, Balami started this. And it's funny because Mr. Balami, Francis Balami, that's his name, from ushistory.com, was written in August 1892. Okay, so September 8th, to be exact. And the origin says, "I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." So I'm going to add that to the footnotes, okay, just to let you guys know about this matter. It's just, oh, yeah, so nothing new under the sun, right? Let's see here. Yeah, I'm just, like, goofing around. But I'll continue on. So right there, Francis Balami, a socialist, wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, and he called that patriotic. I don't know. That's like a big question mark. And finally, on March 3rd, CBS's 60-minute broadcast, a lengthy segment about Moms for Liberty, supposedly waging dangerous campaign to ban books, specifically ones focused on race and gender, from school libraries. We're witnessing what Hannah Arendt, in her 1951 book, The Origins of Totalitarianism, called Automation of Society, is very effective, time-tested communist, Nazis, and fascist tactic. Break up every normal, natural connection in society, the family, the church, synagogue, temple, pervert the language so people can't think or communicate, and isolate the citizens from each other and their communities, all in order to enable totalitarian control. In this dystopia, the individual is completely alone, an atom. No family, no community, no religious solace. You trust nobody because literally everyone can turn on you and be rewarded for that denunciation. That includes your children. Rather, left, right or left, fascist or communist, totalitarianism of all stripes find fertile ground in frightening isolated individuals riven from their fellow countrymen. And as George Orwell notes in his famous Animal Farm, the result of preaching totalitarian doctrines is to weaken the instinct by means of which the free peoples know what is or is not dangerous. Don't believe any of this could possibly happen in the U.S. Think back a couple of years. COVID was upon and automation was in full swing. Everyone masked up, stood 6 feet apart, isolated from family, friends, and community. Most of us chose to avoid holiday celebrations, houses of worships, weddings, and funerals. Movies, concerts, restaurants, malls, county fairs, and gyms. Our children stayed home from school and we didn't go to work. Many of us also lined up for hours, rain or shine, to receive not one, but but two jabs of a new vaccine of dubious effectiveness and serious though largely unforeseen after effects. We trust the science and believe officialdom. We're still reaping the consequences. If that was an experiment, it succeeded beyond anyone's wildest imagination. Good point there. Ubiquitous technology drives this atomization to an unprecedented level. Me relating others in virtual reality, in cyberspace, our friends are on Facebook. Our social status is measured by number of our followers. The more clicks we get, the closer we inch to convey status of influencer. Expect that none of this is real. It's a mass delusion. Hallucination. Which is the original meaning of cyber per Norbert Wiener's 1948 book, Cybernetics, or Control, a communication in the animal and the machine. In the digital realm, truth itself is erased because one can discover facts to fit any preconceived notion, any narrative, any worldview imaginable. There is no objective truth any longer. It is about your truth. We have access to unprecedented amounts of information, yet our knowledge, understanding, and intellectual discourse are more limited and impoverished than ever. There is no free market of ideas any longer as we congregate with like-minded people sharing mutually reinforcing opinions in closed echo chambers. We know deep down that none of this is good, yet we continue to educate ourselves at Wikipedia University, visit Dr. Google, share our most intimate thoughts with anonymous strangers on Quora, spend time in chat rooms. Instead of learning facts and ideas from great books, we're seeing real physicians and sharing experiences in real rooms with real loyal friends. Soon we are no longer citizens of the greatest republic on earth. We're unmoored, atomized Netsians, citizens of the internet. The path of truth is wide open. Just ask Private Bradley Chelsea Manning and Airman Jack Teixeira. To disorient the atomized individual still further, the government controls, the language, political correctness takes hold. Things which were okay to say or do yesterday, we will get you reprimanded in the workplace today. You'll be censored online. Soon you can learn to avoid articulating what you really think because you need to keep your job and you don't want to be canceled. And most of all, you dread being labeled a racist, a homophobic bigot, or a Christian nationalist. So you start to affusate and self-censor, just like they did in the USSR, to quote Orwell again. The sinister fact about literary censorship is that it's largely voluntary. Unpopular ideas can be silenced and inconvenient facts kept dark, without the need for any official ban. Soon, an entire new language takes hold. We learn that black is spelled differently when referring to color, black, and race, black. We're told that chair does not only mean the furniture we sit on, but also dependent on all important context. The person directing a board or leading a committee, we discovered that not only your pets can be groomed, so can our children. We can start saying he or she to be inclusive, but soon that's not enough. We are told to ask people about their preferred pronouns. We learn entirely new words like cisgender, woke, microaggression, trigger, and caudacity. The reprehensive audacity of whites, a cliche coined by Clesia King, Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusivity Officer at the Department of Defense Education Agency, or DODEA. We are also taught that the only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination, and that you must be anti-racist to pursue justice. Ibram X. Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And thus, we learned that, just like in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And therefore, this work was strictly voluntary by any animal who's absent himself from it would have this rations reduced to half. Yet we still cringe when we hear that the United States Air Force Academy promotes a program that bans cisgender men. Like a cigar almost, right? The Academy sent an email on September 14, 2022, informing cadets that the 2023 application for the Broke Owens Fellowship for undergraduate women and gender minorities interested in aerospace. It clarified that if you are a cisgender woman, a transgender woman, non-binary, a gender, bi-gender, two-spirit, demigender, gender fluid, gender queer, or another form of gender minority, this program is for you. If you're a cisgender man, this program isn't for you. Wow. We recoil because we know that the appeal to self is corrosive to unit cohesion. We also know that the promoting individual identity and self-actualization, focusing on what is different among us, fosters division. And yet we are repeatedly told that it's precisely such diversity, not of thought, but of gender, race, ethnicity, religion, national origin, and sexual orientation, that makes our nation prosperous and our military strong. We try to reconcile with our motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one, which we see daily written in capital letters on every coin and bill in our wallets, on our passports, and in every federal building. But no matter how hard we try, we can't reconcile the inevitably leads to cognitive dissonance, which is disorientating, disconcerting, and further atomizing. The term newspeak originates in George Orwell's seminal novel, 1984, published in Britain in 1949. Newspeak is a controlled language, a simplified grammar, and small vocabulary designed to limit critical thinking. It proscribes an individual's ability to articulate and communicate abstract concepts, which are deemed thought crimes. To quote Orwell, freedom is a freedom to say 2 + 2 = 4. If that is granted, all else follows. But in this brave new world, to borrow the title of Aldous Huxley's famous book, we're told 2 + 2 really equals 5. In Orwell's dystopia, the Ministry of Peace concerns itself with war, the Ministry of Truth with lies, the Ministry of Love with torture, and the Ministry of Plenty with starvation. These contradictions are not accidental, nor do they result from ordinary hypocrisy. They are deliberate exercises in doublethink. For it's only by reconciling contradictions that power can be retained indefinitely. In today's Department of Defense, it says here, diversity management calls for creating a culture of inclusions in which the diversity shapes how the work is done. Although good diversity management rests on a foundation of fair treatment, it is not about treating everyone the same. This can be a difficult concept to grasp, especially for leaders who grew up in the EO-inspired mandate to be both color and gender blind. Blindness to difference, however, can lead to a culture of assimilation in which differences are suppressed rather than leveraged. Cultural assimilation, a key to military effectiveness in the past, will be challenged as inclusion becomes and needs to become the norm. The traditional basic training, for example, is focused on assimilating individuals into a fighting force tied together by adoption of similar terminology, customs, and attitudes. However, current military operations are executed within more complex, uncertain, and rapidly changing operational environments that defy the war fighting standards of the past that need to be met with an adaptive and agile leadership that is ready to respond more flexibly. The need to leverage diversity while maintaining unit cohesion will require implementing new training procedures and addressing new tensions. Important elements of diversity management. Interesting there. Wow. Like, very amazing, right? on how this is done. Good grief. So I'll continue on. The above quote is the final report of the Congressionally Mandated Commission of the Military Leadership Diversity published in 2011. The Oro would have been proud. Vocabulary of Newspeak contains no words to articulate complex ideas. There is no honor, courage, shame, dignity, unity, and freedom. Without those words, people literally can't think about abstract concepts. Ideas are reduced by cliches. By limiting language, Newspeak limits thought. This is clearly reflected in the tortured doublespeak and logical contradictions of the MLDC final report. Few familiar with the MLDC, its origins, and sweeping recommendations, yet diversity.defense.gov has revealing three-pager title, How Did the Military Leadership Diversity Commission Come About? It states that there's a sparse documentation available and their origins in thinking of four members of the House of Representatives, Elijah Cummings from Maryland, Hank Johnson from Georgia, Kendrick Meek from Florida, and Kathy Castor from Florida. It became law in September 2008 and was further expanded to include the National Guard and Reserve in the 2010 National Defense Authorization Act. So you can thank the Bushites, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, for supporting it. Hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Do things the Bushite way, right? It is baffling that nobody in Congress paid attention to what they were legislating. There is no evidence of any debate on the matter, yet the report and the implementing law are breathtaking in both scope and implication. The MLDC calls for the fundamental transformation of our military, making racial and gender representation the top defense priority, and placing the POTUS and the SECDEF as chief executives accountable for implementing it. MDLC compares this transformation to the Goldwater-Nichols Act of October 1986, which imposed joint operations of an unwilling military. Act of October 1986, which imposed joint operations of an unwilling military. Ask about joint operations, and everyone in the military and the DOD knows precisely what it is. Jointness is how we fight. Ask about the MLDC, and you'll get blank stares. How is this possible? Simple. If you repeat a lie enough, it becomes true. Joseph Goebbels, Reich Minister of Propaganda from 1933 to 1945, which was the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, right? Also known as the Nazis. MDLC spawned a huge self-perpetuating bureaucracy to implement its sweeping recommendations across the defense enterprise. But apparently, that wasn't enough. And so, on September 23rd, 2022, Secretary Lloyd Austin, CFR scumbag himself, stood up a new advisory committee on diversity and inclusion, DACODAI, appointing General Lester Lyles, United States Air Force retired, as his chair. Coincidentally, General Lyles also chaired the MLDC. In accepting the appointment, General Lyles stated, "This year marks a historic event as the first committee to provide the Secretary of Defense with advice and recommendations to improve racial, ethnic diversity, inclusion, and race and equal opportunity as a force multiplier in the military. I look forward to working with my fellow committee members to help Defense Department so that our national security is strengthened by the full prescription of a diverse and inclusive environment, psych, with service members of every background." Who care about their merits, right? But their background is very important. Oh, yes. So, I will stop there for the time being and be right back. So, as I continue on, we're almost done here, folks. I know it's long, forgive me on this, but it's good to read on these things here. This doublespeak would make Orwell proud. So would many of the new contradictions, abbreviations, and anchorms. all typical of Newspeak and all designed to obfuscate meaning and limited thinking. They have entered our everyday lexicon, BTW, HMIMHO, IRL, LOL, YOLO, IDK, FOMO, SMH. Take a look at your kids and grandkids' text message. It's all Newspeak. So our CRT, WEF, BLM, Antifa, DIE, MRFF, LGBTQA, 2S+. Androids replace words. There's a few examples. We reduce our ideas to sound bites to fit the permissible 240, 280 characters of our tweet or text message. Even Orwell could have foreseen such intellectual impoverishment. Against this backdrop, a new utopia is fast emerging where men can give birth. Heck, that there is an enjoy for that. There are tampons in the boys' bathroom, but boys can use the girls' bathroom. They feel like it. There are 57 plus genders which are different from their sex assigned at birth. You know when doctors turned the newborn upside down and told the elate parents it's a boy or it's a girl. But don't worry, dear child. Stalin will secure your happy childhood. I was told starting in kindergarten in communist Poland. So if you are displeased with that, with what that doctor said, you can be Johnny today and Julie tomorrow. And even if your parents don't get you, the teachers have your back. They'll call you by your preferred pronouns, straight from Orwell's Newspeak, offer you happy pills, and maybe even refer you to a good doctor who'd remove or replace some body parts. Yep, you're not old enough to drive, vote, drink, own a gun, or buy cigarettes, but clearly you're mature enough to make life-altering, irreversible decisions. The teachers won't even tell your parents or guardian that you're transitioning because they're Christian nationalists or genocidal Jews. And anyways, they just don't get it. We all know intuitively, deep in our hearts, that this is terribly wrong. 2 + 2 = 4, right? But this absurdity is all around us with flags, books, movies, TV shows, attire, leadership presentations, recruiting slogans. Suddenly we can't talk to our children and grandchildren anymore. They think we're bigots, racists, conspiracy theorists, or old fools. We feel like aliens from outer space, not crossing the southern border in our own country. Up is down, war is peace, freedom, slavery, ignorance is straight. We are atoms, untethered, disorientated, and disconnected from Animal Farm once again. And thus, they had come to a time when no one dared to speak his mind, when fierce growling dogs roamed everywhere, and when you had to watch your comrades torn to pieces after confessing the shocking crimes. There is a good reason why Herbert Marcuse, the intellectual father of American Marxism, critical theory, the women's liberation movement, and LGBT title in his best-selling 1955 book, republished in 1974, Eros and Civilization. To quote an anonymous Amazon reviewer, I get his point. We need to work less and act out one true sexual desires more. Sex is way better under socialism. Wow. I got to give Ms. Cass props on this article. It's all about propaganda, folks. Mind control, media manipulation, etc. It's funny because, you know, many of us, I know, I'm still good friends with, we're considered LD, learning disabled. Well, I'm pretty damn convinced they should have gave us the term PD, programming disability. We have a programming disability because many of us in that category question everything. not follow the herd. We're our own individuals. So who are the nut jobs, the lunatics out there? Not the special needed kids, right? That's just my intake on it. We always got to see things more thoroughly. When you got the state knows best and all this garbage material trying to shove down our throats, man, even when I was a young man, there's some stuff I like, but I never try to have me be controlled by it. That would be absurd. It just really gets to me the most when I see a lot of folks out there are letting their kids take these psychotropic drugs. And I'm looking at even with the transitioning and so forth. All these psychotropic drugs they're trying to put in their children's bodies, even adults. It's just nuts. It's right out of that book, Down to Dr. Moreau, written by H.G. Wells, Controlling People. And this is why in the past, many people call trans killers at the schools. I call it just another SSRI case. They're very similar, even back at least to Columbine in Colorado, 1999. The patterns are the same, folks. Now they're trying to suppress our intellect. Call us we're ethnic privileged. Oh, man. Well, I remember one time someone called me white privilege. I was making a mock phone call. I go, "Hello, government. I'm a white person. Can I make love to my wife at 9 o'clock? "Oh, thank you, sir. Have a very good day." The person didn't know what to say. I go, "I'm white privilege. I'm trying to get permission." Well, the whole thing is this, folks. He wants this division. It's part of the old playbook that's been going on for millenniums. Don't be like them. I'm proud to say I don't look like them, think like them, or smell like them. I'm my own individual. I'm damn proud of it. I can be a drifter. You can say whatever you want. But I stand with humanity. And what Ms. Lonnie Cox did on this article is very fantastic. All it is just newspeak, doublespeak, propaganda, mind control, and beyond. Don't fall for it. Contemplate for yourselves. Even with the internet, there's a lot of good things about it. We can utilize it for our own cause. Enhance humanity, not enslaved. We're all going to have disagreements, but we have something to kind of stand side by side. Because you never know. We can counter this game of divide and conquer. All right. Well, that will be it. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Plus, feel free to download and share this right your social media networks. If you have any questions, comments, some sense on this internet, check out. Whatever you do, please use decorum. Furthermore, I'll leave the footnotes of the articles here on my page. If you want to contact me, go to ll3.podcast@proton.mail or me, excuse me, dot me, not mail, dot me. If you want to donate, go to paypal.me or cash.app/LokiLuck3. If you want to support Information Liberation, 10th Amendment Center, Brownstone Institute, I think that'd be great. Give you information so you could think, observe, and make your own judgment about what the Bob has trying to teach you. All right. Once again, thank you for your time. Plus, always remember that demoniac resistance is healthy for the soul and can liberate humanity. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Keep on spreading the love. And may your guardian spirits be with you.